I'm so grateful to be up here. This is my kind of gathering, a little sort of back in quieter. And so because of that, I'm going to read from my notes a little more just because I think, just want to keep it restful. But I'm finishing up my fifth and last year. It was our I've been reflecting a lot on my time here, and God has done a work in me. You can ask my parents. I'm a lot different than I was 4 years ago, and for the better. And as I've been reflecting on my time, I've had the banquet parable that Jesus talks about in Luke 14 on my mind. It's the one where he's describing the kingdom as a banquet, and himself as this host. And he's prepared it, and he's invited people. And so he tells the servant, okay, it's ready. Go get those people that I invited. So the servant goes out, and he tells those people, hey, the banquet's ready. Like, let's go to it. And they all have excuses as to why they can't come. And so the servant goes back to the host, and he's like, hey, they are coming. And Jesus, the host, gets so angry. He's like, okay, fine. Go invite the crippled and the lame and the blind and all the people you would never expect to be invited to a banquet. Go invite them. And so he does, and the banquet sort of gets filled up, and Jesus is like, okay, get more people, because in the last line, it's verse 24, I think, he says, it's so chilling, he says, I tell you, not one of those people who were invited will get a taste of my banquet, which is kind of terrifying, if you ask me, and it's been on my mind, mostly because I think I spent this past summer in Thailand for an internship, and it was the most life-changing 2 months of my life for reasons I wasn't really expecting, because about a month before I left, I decided I wanted to try to read the whole Bible as fast as I could, because I felt like I hadn't quite done that yet after 4 years here. And so I committed, like in my solitude time while I was overseas, to read the Bible. So if I wasn't doing that, I was either reading, watching The Chosen, or playing solitaire. So those were like my only options to kind of rid myself of all distractions. And honestly, playing solitaire with like just cards, it's really hard to win. So kind of frustrating me. But anyway, so in that time, I ended up being able to read like 40-ish books of the Bible in 2.5 months and like memorize like 160 verses. Like, it was insane. Like, the power that the Holy Spirit gave me, like the energy he gave me in that time to just like be filled up on good things. Like, it was shocking. I really don't know how I was able to do that. And when I came back here to my rhythm of life that I've been living for 4 years, because that was this past summer, I had a banquet parable on my mind. Because here in this place, this life that I've been living for 4 years, I have had and I have heard so many excuses. I mean, Beth talked about last week our reputation as a generation of quitting. But we have plenty of excuses for it. Like, I just don't really feel called to that. Or, I just really need rest right now. Or, I just feel like the Bible is a textbook and I really just need quiet time with Jesus. Or, I just don't really like to read. Or, I just don't really feel like enough. And sometimes these excuses, they felt really valid to me. And they probably felt valid to you. And maybe sometimes they have been valid. But they honestly paralyze us because they put us in this little dance. Like, we're dancing around with all of these excuses or these things when decisions have to be made that deal with our faith, the most important thing, following Christ. And it paralyzes us in this panic and can keep us from actually accepting the invitation to the kingdom of God and showing up for it and actually sitting down and eating. Here in this place, I've had a lot of excuses, but in those months in Thailand, it seemed like God weeded out every single one, and it was life-changing, like, to an exponential degree. And I came back knowing that his power is accessible, and it's transformational in the words about him, like, in the Bible, like, right in front of us. And it changed me. Like, I had joy and peace and wisdom and clarity that was definitely not my own in that time. Like confidence in Jesus that I had never experienced in my time at Bible college. What? That's crazy. I felt free from that pressure that I felt when I'm dancing with excuses. And in this parable about the kingdom, Jesus seems to be telling us that our excuses bring us dangerously close to being uninvited and missing our opportunity to show up and stay there. Jesus is saying to us, to the people that have received the invitation, the gospel, you are dangerously close to being uninvited. So the pressing question now is, how do we continue to show up? Not only that, but how do we get to stay in that house? Because that's where I want to be, and I'm pretty sure that's where all of you want to be. Because if we would just go to the banquet, we'd be guests in the Lord's house, in the kingdom of heaven, and he would feed us, and we would be satisfied, even in hardship. All we have to do is show up and stay there, and he'll change you. He will. We know we've received the invitation, so now the question is, how do you accept it, show up, and stay there? And in this chapel series on 2 Timothy, we've talked about our heritage, the importance of remembering the gospel, which is the invitation, and enduring for the gospel, which is accepting it and showing up. Endurance is how we experience Christ's kingdom on the earth. And in this last chunk of 2 Timothy 3, Paul answers this banquet question, how can we show up and stay at the table with Jesus now, in the midst of hardship, in spite of what seems like battle excuses? But before Paul gets to how, he describes what people with excuses look like, and there are people to avoid. So we're going to start in 2 Timothy 3, and it starts in verse 1, if you want to follow along.
Beth talked about it last week, and she brought guests who shared what their endurance in the faith looked like. And if we deny that life, if we don't follow Jesus in that hardship, under the guise of godliness, we're people to be avoided. We're imposters to the faith, and we're honestly self-sabotaging. In other words, if we learn the Christian language but we don't live the Christian life here, we deny God's power that he wants to give to us. He wants to. And we lose our invite to the best table, the best meal, the best host. It's not an exaggeration. It's the truth, I promise you. I mean, if we skip down a little farther to verse 7, he describes these kind of people as always learning, but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. So let me put it this way. Let's use the parable again. I think it's a great image. You can know everything about what the invitation is like, and where the banquet is, and what's going to be served, and where you're going to sit, and how you're going to get there. But if you never actually show up to it, and sit down, do you really know anything at all? If you've never been hosted by Jesus, served by Jesus, and fed by Jesus, are you really the person someone should ask for details from? Probably not. We've all been invited. We already established that. We all believe, and we've been studying our host and his banquet for a while now. 4 years for me, going up on, I guess, now. But have we really showed up and stayed long enough to have come to an actual knowledge of the truth, not just the learning part? Maybe we haven't really known where to start. But Paul, now turning and addressing Timothy, gives a specific answer. He says that this continued showing up and staying, this faithful obedience, is possible through the scriptures, like through the Bible. So we're gonna skip down a little farther to verse 14. I think he says it really potently here. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know from those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for good work. Paul is telling Timothy here to remember what he showed up for and how he found it in the Bible. Remember that these words are the most potent witness of God's revelation to us, his son Jesus. And remember that they will change you. They will open your eyes. I think this is the most beautiful part. They will open your eyes to the inheritance you receive in Christ. That when you show up to that banquet, you're not just a guest, but you become a member of the household. Jesus calls those who show up and stay members of his family. Thinking of Hebrews 2. Consuming the most potent witness of Christ makes us akin to Christ. We become his family. And we know that Jesus made no excuses. When he rested, he did it confidently in God's timing. He was always qualified to do his Father's work, and he did it well. And he was always in the right place at the right time, doing the right things. And he was never worried or panicked about it. Even when by our standards, he probably should have been. Any excuse for not going to the cross would have been valid for him to give. But he made not one. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, yet he opened not his mouth. I don't really know what else to say there. Jesus makes no excuses. We're called to follow him. And I guess what I mean is, if we accept his invitation and stay and eat with him, he will make us like him. And I really think this practically looks like, maybe this is the application you're listening for in a sermon. Practically, I think this looks like reading the Bible in large chunks, with no agenda, knowing it's the most potent witness of Jesus, until we're face to face with him, and we just trust that the Holy Spirit is changing us. I want to say it again. I think this practically looks like reading our Bibles over and over again in large chunks, knowing what it is, until we're face to face with Jesus, who it's about, and trusting that his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, changes us. It's not on us. We just have to show up and stay there. And doing it honestly, however you have to, read it alone, listen to it, read it out loud, read it with other people, write it out, read it in order, read it in sections, memorize it, read it in different versions, just show up and stay there long enough. He'll change you. There are definitely more detailed applications of just how the scripture changes us. And I may be wrong. I really may be wrong. But in my experience, I just don't think we've got the show up and stay there part down yet. I know that I didn't. And I know I don't feel like I get this right most of the time, but I have so much confidence that the Spirit is helping me. And you will probably get this wrong most of the time too, but you can have confidence that the Spirit is helping you. We show up, we stay there, and we let the Spirit change us. And I saw this pattern that I want to follow so clearly, this pattern of just listening and absorbing and trusting that it's being changed. I saw it in my nephew Jackson. He's 4 years old. I'm just going to tell a story and then I'll be done. He's 4 years old. I have two nephews and a niece, and they're my favorite people in the world. And right now my favorite thing, I might cry thinking about it, is listening to my nephew Jackson pray. And on Saturday for our Easter dinner with family, he wanted to pray over it. And so we were like, okay. And he's learned the cadence of prayer. You know, people have like a spiritual like rhythm, melody of their life, their voices that they take on when they're praying. And so he's learned that. And so he starts and he says, "Dear God, thank you for this food and mommy and daddy and me and you. I love you." And he, like, that's the refrain. And he goes, "And thank you for Oma and Opa," that's grandparents in German, "and me and you, and I love you." And he says, "Thank you for Easter and that Jesus rose from the dead, and me and God and you, and I love you." And then he mumbled a couple of things, and he said, "And me, and I love you, God. Amen." And my sister's like over there crying, and I'm getting emotional. Because it is so wild to hear a four-year-old, a little boy that you love so much, say that Jesus rose from the dead, and to thank God for it. Like, he is listening. He's listening and he's absorbing and he's changing and he doesn't even know it. It's just happening. And that's what happens when you read the Bible. So what happens when you take in the witness of Jesus is you listen and you absorb and you change. That's what happens in the banquet room. That's what's happening. And so I think in this series, it was really cool hearing Jim remind us that of our gospel people and our gospel places and our gospel purposes. And the hope in being here in this place is that we would become gospel people for others, and that we would create gospel spaces, and that we would foster gospel purposes. And that's the change that happens when we get in the Word. That's who you will become. When you read the witness of Jesus, when you let it change you, when you let the Spirit do His work. That's what happens when you show up to it and you stay in it and you let Him change you. He will. Thank you.